All right. Thank you guys for coming. Breakouts are they're such an important part of Davis Tent for me, just because it's cool to be able to like spend time in the tent and then come away and just get like blasted more of like new stuff and new revelation, and then go back into the tent. It's like it's kind of like creates this really cool journey. I love, and something I love also about this year is we've scheduled our breakouts very intentionally to be able to give you guys sessions, not just of talks or of stories or of like specific people, but actually of our own friends, so people who are involved in our own core team, people who we've journeyed with through the years, people who we see day in and day out. It's a really beautiful thing that we get to do that this year. And one of those people is the lovely Bobby Kumari. You know those people that you don't get to spend a lot of your life with, but when you're around them, you're like, man, why can I not spend more time with this person? You know, you have those people in your life? Yeah, maybe just me. All right. Bobby's one of those people. Like, I don't live in the UK. I travel a lot in and out. And every time I'm around Bobby, I just leave feeling so much better about myself, first of all, just with who I am. I don't know how many, actually, raise your hand if you've been affected by Bobby in this tent. So first of all, that's what I wanted to say about her, is not only is she beautiful outside, she's beautiful inside, and she's affected me a lot, both with just like deep revelation and also some really strangely beautiful pet names that she just comes out with all the time. And she has such a lovely way of like saying it, and then you're like, oh, thank you, and then you kind of walk away, you're like, wait, what? What is that even? Bobby, can you give a couple of examples?
So I call people lollipop. Cupcake, treacle, flour, weird stuff. Yeah.
So, yeah. I'm going to tell a little bit about Bobby before she gets up and shares with you. Bobby goes to, so she's a part of our DT core team, our Davis Tent core team. She's a huge support to us. She's also a member of Commonwealth Church in central London. Which apparently a lot of you are also members of that church. She does a lot of things. She's the founder of an organization called Living in Light, which is a fashion and lifestyle brand. So she does professional fashion work. She designs outfits. There we go. She's modeling it today. She also does personal consultants, has a consultancy with personal fashion with a passion to bring out people's identity, not just for who they are, but actually through what they wear. She's also a writer. She has a book coming out called Sacred Sexuality. And she's very passionate about sexual purity in our generation, which is such an incredible thing to hear. And it's coming out hopefully by the end of this year, right? Okay, cool. And I think one thing that's really cool about this is she does like a lot of different things, but the commonality that I guess all of those strings are attached to is just how she views God in the secret place. So everything that she does, whether it's fashion, whether it's owning a business, whether it's like consultancy, or whether, you know, it's like working with DT, she has the very core like engine of seeking God in the secret place, learning more about Him, and letting that worship drive her to what she does. And everything is a really cool expression. So I'm actually really glad that you can't just describe Bobby in one thing, because I think that's the point of what she's going to share today, is it really takes a whole lifestyle of worship. So I can say anymore. I'm just going to give it over to the lovely Bobby. Come on.
Oh, so good. Oh, wow. The thing that is striking is that every single one of you are here because you have a hunger and a thirst for the secret place. And that's what God's going to bless. Like, that's where God's going to meet you, in your hunger, in your desire for like just a deeper intimacy. And it's such a privilege for me to even be able to share about this. And the way they actually happened was a bit weird because we'd had a DT team meeting on Skype, and it was a really, really powerful meeting. And then that night I was like doing some pattern cutting, and then all of a sudden it just occurred to me that, is someone going to be doing a breakout session about the lifestyle of worship at DT? Like, I need to ask Tiff, like, is someone better be doing a breakout session about the lifestyle of worship at DT? So then I met her for dinner the following night, and I was like, Tiff, you've definitely got someone doing a breakout session about the lifestyle of worship, right? And then she said, well, there is someone that we want to ask. And I was like, who? And she was just like, you? So I truly believe that I am here by God's design. Like, there's no part of me that thinks this is an accident, this is a fluke, this is a default. Like, I know that I'm standing here by virtue of heaven's appointment. And I'm just going to pray first. Jesus, this is all for you. All of it, everything, the field, the worship, people taking time off work, people borrowing money to get here. It's all for you, Jesus. And I just thank you, God, that I get to talk about what a lifestyle of abiding in the secret place looks like. And I just thank you, God, for just the hunger. And I thank you because abiding in the secret place looks different for every single one of us. And I just thank you that, I just thank you, God, that you're so here and you're going to blast this place. You're going to blast this place with your love, your kind intent, your creativity, your discovery, your goodness, your fun. I just love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So I'm just going to, first up, just read like 5 scriptures, and then I'm going to start talking about abiding in the secret place. So feel free to come to those scriptures with me. So we can begin at Ephesians 3:17. I don't even think it's Ephesians 3:17. Maybe it's 1:17? Oh, because I'm in Hebrews right now. That's why it's not the right scripture. Guys, I am actually a bit of a mess. Like, this is what happens. I'm so sorry. Yeah, so Ephesians 3:17 is, may Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. And then I'm going to go to John 14. Jesus answered, if a person really loves me, he will keep my word, obey my teaching, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home, abode, special dwelling place with him. And then 15:7. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you, and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. Colossians 1:6. 1:16, sorry guys. For it was in him that all things were created, in heaven and on earth, things seen and things unseen, whether thrones, dominions, rulers or authorities, all things were created and exist through him, by his service, intervention, and in and for him. And then just finally, Hebrews 4:12. Okay, for the word of God, God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. Amen. So I just kind of wanted to just leave those scriptures just brewing inside of you and just see what the Lord does with those. I will be making references to them throughout this session, but I won't actually go back to them. But feel free to do that while this session goes on. So yeah, I get the incredible privilege and honor about talking about abiding in the secret place. I'm just going to begin just by sharing my journey in the secret place. And I felt what the Lord was just saying, because I'm a teacher. I didn't say to Alan, I'm actually a trained teacher as well. So I'm a teacher. I like to break things down and I like to really teach and really give the background and stuff. But I feel the Lord was just like, Bobby, just share about secret place. And I would just teach through that. So I'm just going to share about my own journey with the secret place. So when I first came to the Lord about 13 years ago, I came out of a really hedonistic lifestyle. So I was relying on drugs, class A drugs and alcohol as a lifestyle, sleeping around loads, smoking, just doing all silly stuff really. And I was such a pleasure seeker, but there was so much pain. And I had known the Lord when I was 12. My family are from a Hindu background, and someone had knocked at the door when I was 12 years old and told me about Jesus. And I just totally went for it with Jesus. But then by the time I was 16, I just left him because I wanted to just have fun. And so I thought that Jesus was going to kill my vibe. And so I literally was just like, okay, I don't want to know you anymore. And then when I was in my mid-20s and my life was just falling apart, because by now I was so destructive and my drug taking was ridiculous, and I had completely just ruined my life, and I knew that I needed saving. And so my mum had become a Christian, and so every time I would see my mum, or friends around me would tell me that they've become Christians as well. And so God kind of somehow just snuck in and got under my skin at the same time as my life was falling apart. And I knew that, okay, I need a saviour. I just knew that as much as I still enjoy the things I was doing, I needed saving, otherwise I was going to go to hell. That's all that I knew. And so I started attending church, and I started going to Bible school, and I went to church every single week, and I tried to give up smoking, tried to give up sex, tried to give up everything. I tried to be a really good Christian. And then every time I'd really do really, really well, I'd go out and get drunk, because I was kind of doing it in my own strength, and I didn't really understand about surrender. And every single time there was an altar call during those first few years of becoming a Christian, I would give my heart to Jesus, but in my heart I just kept... At the back of my mind, I'd be like, but I'm probably still going to take cocaine, and I'm probably still going to have sex, and I don't know if I can give up the drinking yet, and I don't know if I can do this, or I don't know if I can do that. So even though I'd go to the front and I'd give my life to the Lord again and again and again, there was always a part of me that I held back. And so I basically lived a double life as a Christian. It was like a one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. And so I would backslide quite frequently, and then after about 2.5 years of really living this painful life of just back and forth, my backsliding got quite bad. And as a result of it, I had these crazy demonic attacks one night. And I did not think I was going to live through those demonic attacks. I literally felt my life flash before me, and I was so, so scared, and I heard all the prophecies that had been spoken over my life, and I remember thinking to myself, oh my gosh, like, what a way to go. Like, I'm never going to see those prophetic words fulfilled over my life. And I did not expect to live, but I did. And after that, I was like, I never want to play with the world ever again. And so I gave my life to the Lord after that. And I surrendered like 100%. There was nothing within me that ever wanted anything to do with the world ever again. Because in those attacks, I'd actually seen what the world truly looks like. You know, when it's not being covered by the glam, when it's not being presented in a deceptive, you know, formula. It is evil and it's from the enemy at its core. And because I obviously came face to face with that, that was it. I ran after Jesus with every inch of my being. But if I were, like, if I'm honest, I still found Christianity quite boring compared to the world that I'd lived in. And so now I was like, okay, I'm going to live for Jesus. And I would read his word and I'd be really, really good. But I was really, really scared. I was so scared because I kept thinking that those demons were going to come back. And so I lived in this crazy, like, just, it was like I was in the Twilight Zone. I didn't know if I was human. Like, because when you get attacks in that way, like spiritually, you can't talk to other people about it. If they haven't gone through what you've gone through, you actually feel like a freak and you feel like no one really understands. And so for the first couple of months, I didn't even really tell people what was going on, and I was like a zombie. I couldn't go to sleep, I couldn't function. When I was teaching in my classroom, like I could feel myself being attacked again, and I would just freeze and I would panic, and my house would go freezing cold in the middle of the night. And there'd be nights where I'd just leave my house and leave it at like 2 o'clock in the morning and just call someone and just say, like, hey, can I come and stay with you? And it got to a point where I couldn't live in my home anymore because I was so, so scared. And so I went to live with my sister. And then during that period, I felt God had said to me that my grace is sufficient for you in this period, but I didn't know how he was going to help me through this period. I just took every day as it came. And then all of a sudden he said to me, I want you to worship me. Like, I want you to worship me in your storm. And I didn't really even have a grid for personal worship. Like, for me, I only understood corporate worship at this stage, and I didn't understand about praise. I didn't understand, you know, to enter the courts with thanksgiving. Like, I didn't understand about any of that. I just knew that people got together and they worship God corporately. And so this invitation that God was like, okay, Bobby, if you worship me, I will take you out of the wilderness. And so I moved back home, even though I was petrified, and I began to worship, and I worshipped, and I worshipped, and I worshipped, and I worshipped as if my life depended on it. Like, I needed to worship. I needed to worship to function. I needed to worship to get up in the morning, to go to bed at night. I needed to worship to breathe. Like, I literally could not get through the next hour until I worshipped. And so the secret place became very, very real to me. It was like a refuge. It was a place where I found safety. It was a place where I saw Jesus' face, and I found enough grace and enough strength to be able to make it to the next hour, and then the next hour, and then the next hour. And so that's how, like, my Christian walk with Jesus began, you know, like seeing him in the secret place as if my life depended on it. And then that went on for like the next like 10 years where whatever happened in my life, whether I had problems with guys or I had problems ministry or I had problems, any kind of problems, I just went straight into the secret place. Like, that was the place where everything was okay. And I just saw Jesus' face so powerfully, and his peace, like his companionship, his goodness. I was just living in there. But then last year, I found that my circumstances was somehow overtaking me, and the secret place wasn't enough. And I don't know if that makes sense to you, because there was a time in my life for 10 years where I thought the presence is enough. And I couldn't work that out, because I'd be like, Jesus, I'm in your presence, and I can feel you, and I can feel you whispering to me that I'm hemmed in, and I know that you love me, and I'm on my face, and I'm weeping, and I can feel your presence right here, but my circumstances are still not improving. And so there was like this disconnect, and I didn't want to break agreement with the word because I was reading the word, but there was a place in me where I thought I knew what the word said. It was like, oh yeah, I know what you think about that situation, Jesus, and I've been declaring it and I've been praying it, but it's just not actually making much of a difference. So there was a bit of cynicism when I'd go into the scriptures, and even though I was reading the scriptures because I didn't want to break covenant with the word, but I wasn't being ministered to by the word in my places of need because I thought I knew what the word said. And I had this sense of, yeah, I know what Jesus says about prosperity. I know what Jesus says about life. I know all of that. And I remember having a conversation with someone, and then someone, while I was in this place, saying like, Bobby, all you need is a breakthrough. Like, you just need a breakthrough. Don't worry, your circumstances will get better. But I felt inside of me that I didn't need a breakthrough, that I just needed more of Jesus. And I know that that sounds like quite a cliched thing, but I knew that as much as I spend time in a secret place, as much as I keep visiting the secret place, there was something that needed to happen on the inside of me that gave me more of Jesus, that gave me enough of Jesus that it overtook my circumstances, but I didn't know what it was. And at this time, I ended up going on a trip to California. And while I was at this amazing church called Jubilee Church, and there was this message that was preached that has literally become my anthem, like what I'm sharing with you today, I can't stop sharing it. Like, it's become my song, it's become my statement. Like, and I really do believe that if you catch this today, this will become your statement, this will become your song, and you will multiply this in your lives, and everyone that you share this with, their lives will change. Like, I'm convinced of it, because this is the testimony of Jesus. And the testimony of Jesus is prophecy. And when I'm prophesying here, and I'm prophesying that you're going to catch this, and it is going to multiply, and it is going to touch other people's lives as well. Because I'm living this, like hearing this message, it's just wrecked me for all of my days. And I cannot stop sharing this message that I'm about to bring. So Pastor Steve, all of a sudden, just shared that basically, in order for us to truly be victorious, we have to abide in the word. And I know that's like, yeah, I know, everyone abides in the word, we're Christians. But actually, we don't. Like, we dip in and out of the word. You know, we go to the word for the place of need, we do our devotionals, you know, we pray the word and all of that stuff, but we don't dwell in the word. I certainly wasn't dwelling in the word. I was visiting the word. And all of a sudden, when he said that, I just got this revelation that this whole time, I've been visiting the secret place. But actually, if the word was going to dwell in me, then the secret place would be inside of me. I wouldn't have to visit it. Because if I dwell in the word, if I can get the word inside of me, not as something that I visit, not as something that I merely study, not as something that I just confess now and again, but if I can get the word dwelling inside of me, then I can get heaven inside of me. And I can get the reality of who it is I truly am inside of me. And I can get Jesus inside of me in a way where he actually dwells, in a way where everywhere I go, Jesus goes. Because Jesus is the word. The word is Jesus. There's no way we can have a fullness of Christ in our lives. We simply cannot see that manifested unless we are abiding in the word, unless we are actually dwelling in it, making our home in it. And the Bible tells us that Jesus and the Father have come and made a dwelling place inside of us. And the Holy Spirit abides in us. And the word tells us that everything, all of us, are inside him. And when I heard this message, all of a sudden, like, I remember, because when I was going through all of this stuff, I remember Jesus just whispering to me in the secret place that you're hemmed in, you're hemmed in, you're hemmed in. Like, all your stuff, all your circumstances, all the places where you're hurting, you're hemmed in. But when I would leave the secret place and then I would go and do my daily thing, that word that he kept speaking to me that I was hemmed in would just become a faint whisper, and my hope would diminish. Some days I was flying, and other days I would just, his voice would fade away. But then when I got the revelation that I need to dwell in the word, and I began to actually study what it means to be hemmed in, And I began to not just read the word, because the thing is, to read the word, to read the Logos word is amazing. Like, it washes us and it gives us context and it does so much. Like, we need the Logos word. But oftentimes, we just allow the word to be a word. But the word is alive. The word is alive, it's active, it's energizing, it is Jesus. The word is Jesus. Every single word in the Bible is a door to Jesus, to a door to who he is, to what he's done, to his beauty, to his kindness, to his kind intent towards us, to his plans, to his nature. And when we just read the word and we don't engage with it as an experience, we're not engaging with heaven, not engaging with the Spirit of God. And so the dwelling doesn't take place. And what Jesus wants us to do, he wants us to meditate and chew on the word, on every single word, until those words are no longer words anymore and they become experiences, a place of visitation where you actually begin to meet with God in a journey, in a discovery. He takes you into heaven through the word. And the thing is, we are spiritual beings. We are heavenly beings. And oftentimes people pray for heaven to come down to earth. We are not going to walk around and see heaven manifested, you know, in things. Heaven gets manifested in our heart. Heaven gets manifested through the eyes of faith. It's faith that sees heaven. And if we don't dwell in the word, we will not have a picture of what heaven truly looks like. The word tells us that we're seated in heavenly places. If we don't dwell in the word, we will never even know what that looks like. So many times we want to go and visit the secret place. We want to go to the secret place. I'm just going to go there. I'm just going to enter into the secret place. But when we dwell in the word and when we chew and when we really see Jesus behind his words, the secret place truly is something that settles inside of us, dwells inside of us, where no matter what our circumstances, no matter where we're going, no matter what we're doing, we just have to tap into heaven, which is within us. Like, we have Jesus within us through the word. It's his word that abides in us. He wants an environment. He wants a place that's filled with heaven. That's his best environment. You know, that's where he can be him in a heavenly atmosphere. And our hearts have the capacity to be a heavenly abode for him. But without the word, it's impossible. And the word is just so, so precious. It continuously, and all these things that I'm sharing, I mean, they're all from teachings from Pastor Steve at Jubilee Church. And I plead with you that connect with Diana. Diana, wave your hand. Connect with Diana at the end, and she will give you the website address for the podcast, and like, go and just learn more about this and allow it to grow inside your heart and blossom and flourish inside your heart. Because what I'm going to say now, it's just like my experience with it. But the beautiful thing with the word of God is that every time you go back to it, it flourishes and it blossoms and it gains value because it's in the presence of God. And so I want you to go on that discovery for yourself. And even me, every single time I've spoken about this, every time I revisit it, it's like the word just gains more value. It blossoms even more. It flourishes even more. And so what ends up happening is every time you go to the word, if you choose to engage with the word, and if you go to the word of God and you're like, you know what? I'm not looking for a solution. I'm not looking for answers right now. I'm just looking for Jesus. I'm just looking for who you are, Lord. Because he is the word and the word is him, everywhere in the word is filled with revelation of who he is. And Jesus, he gives us all these promises in his word. And oftentimes we struggle to engage with Jesus because we have all these unfulfilled promises. We have all these places of disappointment, or we have all of these needs. But he wants us to find him in the word, to find his character, to find who he is, to find his goodness, to get a revelation of his nature, and to have hope and to have trust that what we see in the word of God, these are all his promises based on the finished work. And when we don't study the Bible And when we don't chew and when we don't meditate, we look at these promises and we think, that hasn't come to pass in my life yet. So either that's not true or it doesn't apply to me, or we lose hope, or we, you know, decrease in confidence. But actually, that word, even in its seed form, is pulsating with the life of heaven. Even in its seed form, as a promise, before it even manifests in our life, is pulsating with vibrancy, pulsating with value. We can read a scripture and just be like, Jesus, because you said it, I'm going to believe you. Because this is your promise to me, and because you're faithful, and because I trust you, because I can trust that what you did at the cross is a sure thing, and you are not a man that you should lie, because I trust in your nature, because I trust in your finished work, I know that all the promises that you have for me, they will be fulfilled. And as I wait and as I trust, I'm just going to enjoy you. I'm just going to enjoy your word. And what I realized is when I was in the secret place, before I had this revelation, I'd stopped enjoying God. Because I had him held up at ransom. God, if you don't put money in my bank account, I'm sorry, I can't enjoy you. Jesus, if this doesn't happen and this need doesn't get met, I can't be with you. And we ransom God. And we're like, if this need doesn't get met, Jesus, I don't know if I can worship you. But Jesus is like, you know what? Enjoy me. Enjoy me. Enjoy me. Enjoy what I've done for you. Enjoy who I am to you. Simply just enjoy me. Enjoy my promises, even if you don't see their fulfillment. Just enjoy them because I am trustworthy. In my kind nature, I will do this. But as you wait for those promises, I'm going to reveal to you who I am. I'm going to reveal to you my nature. I'm going to reveal to you just how reliable and trustworthy I am. And then what ends up happening is you end up having such a great wild time with those promises through his word that you end up having such a revelation of who he is that the promises become secondary. And as worshippers, we can sometimes get so distracted from simply just worshipping him, even when we're in the big top. Like, I know how many times I've been robbed of an encounter with Jesus because I'm comparing myself to somebody. Or I'm like, that's not how Jesus shows up in my life. Or something could have happened. And those things get into my head. And then I can't stop thinking about those. And so I lose the moment. And this whole idea of just worshipping Jesus gets completely robbed. But actually, if we can understand that we can enjoy God through his word and through the beautiful ministry of the Holy Spirit, no matter what our circumstances are, no matter what happens, no matter what goes wrong, no matter what things we get faced with, every single time we get faced with a new challenge, it's actually an opportunity for us to enjoy God and to believe that the finished work will manifest in that area. Because we have all these needs simply because we haven't seen the finished work manifest. Because the finished work is everything that Jesus has already done, is sheer perfection. And we only lack in those areas where we're waiting for the finished work to manifest. They're the areas that the seed, the word is simply just a seed. And it's where the word needs to grow, and it's where the word needs to flourish, and where we get a greater understanding of who Jesus is, how he feels about our situation, who we are in him. But oftentimes when we come into worship, instead of just enjoying God in that moment, instead of opening the word without any other agenda but just to see Jesus, often our circumstances and what's going on and all those distractions and the voice of the enemy, all of that stuff just gets in the way. But I'm telling you from my own personal experience, and I know that there are many people that have been walking in this as well. There is no circumstance that is so, so, so dire that it would separate us from the love of God. There is no circumstance that can truly steal our praise and can truly steal our worship and our abiding in Jesus and us actually just enjoying him. Like since this word that I received in February, literally in all the issues that I've had, no matter what it is, whether I'm in a situation where I'm scared or I'm in a situation where I don't have money or whatever situation might come, I'm just so excited because I'm like, oh my gosh, this is a fresh place, Jesus. It's a fresh place where I get to let that seed of your word, timeless truths, like growing inside of me where I can live from those timeless truths. And it's a fresh place where I can just allow you to grow your truth, to grow heavenly perspective, to grow rest and what you have done and who you are, to grow that revelation afresh within me. And it's been so exciting. It's been so, so powerful. No matter what situation I have faced, he has been faithful. And this whole thing about going into the Word with the Holy Spirit and encountering Jesus and just enjoying him has totally just flipped, turned my life around. So many areas that I used to battle with, like sometimes I can battle with condemnation. But when I started studying about, firstly, I started studying about being hemmed in. And even though he'd been whispering to me that you're hemmed in, it would lose its hold every time I went away from the secret place. But when I began to study what it means to be hemmed in, and I realized that, oh my gosh, like I'm hemmed in by victory. So all my stuff, all my crap, all my junk, all my problems, all my circumstances, all the lack, all the dysfunction, it's all hemmed in by victory. Like I actually cannot lose. I don't even have to weep. I don't even have to cry. I don't have to fear. I don't have to be in any condition of anxiety, because no matter how much the poo hits the fan, I'm so sorry, but no matter how much the poo hits the fan, it's all surrounded by victory. It's all surrounded by the finished work. Like, I cannot actually go anywhere in my life without coming face to face with victory, without coming face to face with the love of God, the kindness of God, the goodness of God. And as I've been meditating on that for the last 5 or 6 months, and meditating on the fact that I'm above reproach. I'm actually above reproach. Even if I mess up, even if I do the dumbest thing, I'm above reproach. Like, there is no condemnation for me. And sometimes I did battle with condemnation. Sometimes I did battle with a whole pile of stuff. Sometimes it affected my worship. Sometimes I couldn't, as much as I've been acquainted to the secret place, sometimes I couldn't press in because I'd have all this junk going on in my head. And the thing is, like, no matter what the situation has been, I've been able to just draw on the secret place inside of me. Even when the situation has been embarrassing or shameful or uncomfortable or I felt lonely, like whatever the situation is, I've just been able to enjoy God, and he's shown up so, so beautifully. In fact, something happened the other day that involved Tiffany, so I'm going to tell you about that. So this is, enjoying God is so good. So basically, there was a team builder meeting going on, and the core team came up. Like, I didn't come up. Tiff called everyone up, and I was just sitting down on the floor. And after the core team had come up, she then called me up. And I was, like, a bit nervous, because I was like, why is she calling me up? Like, I feel a bit embarrassed. Like, why are you calling me up? Why are you calling me up? And then my heart was beating really, really, really fast. And then I was standing here like this. And then all of a sudden she said, oh, Bobby, can you get me the cake? And it's like, imagine you're standing in front of all these team builders and someone's called you up and you think they're going to say something like really profound and they end up asking you to get a cake. And then I said, oh, okay, I just got to get the cake. And then, like, I got the cake. And then after that, when I sat down, I was like, oh my gosh, that was so embarrassing. Like, that was so embarrassing. Like, what are the team builders going to think of me? They're going to think I'm such an idiot. And so we started going into worship, and then I was like, you know what, actually, hopefully no one noticed. Like, hopefully no one even noticed what happened. It's fine. No one even noticed what happened. And I was like, Jesus, I'm just going to enjoy you. Like, I'm not going to let it rob my worship. I'm just going to enjoy you. And then every time the devil would try and, you know, whisper, like, you idiot, I was just like, Jesus, I love you. Thank you so much for just how much you love me and how precious I am to you. And I just kept adoring him and kept adoring him and kept adoring him. And after a little while, it just didn't matter anymore. Like, I just enjoyed Jesus so much. I didn't care if I'd been humiliated. I didn't care if people thought, like, seriously, what is she doing? I didn't care about any of that stuff. Like, it was just about Jesus. And then the next day, one of the ambassadors came up to me. And then she said, oh, Bobby, I think you're wonderful. She was like, yesterday, when you were called up and you weren't needed... I thought you handled that amazing. I thought you handled it so beautifully. But the crazy thing was, because I'd just gone straight into God's presence. And because I just enjoyed him and everything else, I didn't care about all the other stuff. I didn't care about it maybe being embarrassing. All I just cared about is, this is a moment, Jesus, where I can set my heart upon you. I can just enjoy you. I can enjoy who you are. I can enjoy what you've done. I can enjoy your love for me. I can enjoy just how much you adore me. I can enjoy all your promises. Like in this very moment, I can simply just abide in you. And so when Ginny approached me with that, it's like God had already healed me. God had already taken me above reproach. God had already dealt with it. And so there was no place in my heart that was bothered about it. And you might think to yourself, okay, well, that's quite a mild story. But no matter what our situation is, like whether it's embarrassment, whether it's shame, whether it's reproach, condemnation, whether it's sexual sin, whether it's, you know, just whatever your issue might be, you can still enjoy God. And I'm not saying you enjoy God and enjoy the sin. What I'm saying is you leave the sin, but you enjoy God in your process. And even if you are in sin right now, even if you are battling, you can still enjoy God. You can still enjoy God. And you can still enjoy the Word, because the Word is a two-edged sword. And it's alive and it's active and it separates soul from spirit. So as you chew on the Word and as you meditate, even if you are going through dysfunction, when you're chewing on the Word, when you're meditating on the Word, it will begin to separate soul from spirit. You will begin to see what your soulish behavior is and what your spiritual behavior is. And all the junk, all of your crap, all of my crap, if we keep chewing and meditating on the Word, all that stuff will begin to come up. And Jesus doesn't reveal these things to condemn us. Jesus reveals these things to redeem us. Because he is the high priest. He is the apostle. He's been through all of this. And this is again why chewing and making the Word come alive in your life is so important with the Holy Spirit. Because everything that Jesus is and everything that Jesus has done in the Word, that becomes timeless truths that we live from. When we allow it to totally just grow, when we keep revisiting that Word, we keep revisiting that Scripture, we keep revisiting those whispers that Jesus keeps giving us. The more we go to the Word, that seed, those whispers actually become fruit. They grow, they become trees, and we begin to live from those places. And so when we do that, we can trust God. We can trust that he's changing the way that we think, that he's redeeming us. And the thing is, the more that we actually meditate on who he is, the more that we meditate on what he's done, he becomes our confession of hope. So we're not putting our hope in a better job. We're not putting our hope in marriage. We're not putting our hope in finances. We're not putting our hope on anything external. We're not putting our hope on our circumstances. He becomes the confession of our hope. He becomes the unwavering confession that we simply cannot move away from. And so when the storms come, we are operating. We're abiding in the secret place. We're living in this place where we're immovable. We're unshakable. These truths that we begin to delve into the Word, that we go on a discovery with, that we allow Jesus just to take us anywhere, they become timeless truths that we live from. And then even when our circumstances come raging in, we do not move from those places. But what happens is when you truly believe that actually, Jesus, you are so good, you're so kind, you are going to do this for me. I can trust you. I know I'm not going to lack. So when we continuously confess that and we keep taking it back to Jesus and we keep confessing that in our prayers and we keep confessing it every single day, what ends up happening is Jesus, as our mediator, takes that to the Father. He takes our confession of hope to the Father, and the Father blesses it. The Father blesses it because Jesus is our mediator. And so Jesus takes the confession that we actually bring him and he presents it to the Father. And because Hebrews 4:16, it talks about us boldly coming into God's throne room with all, basically with all our dysfunction, with all our weaknesses, with all of our shortcomings. And when we confess Jesus as our hope, when we take the Word, when we take the seed of what he's been doing in us and it becomes truth within us, we take that in a place of prayer. We confess that. We confess that before God. And Jesus, because he's our high priest, what the Father does is he releases grace and mercy for all of our shortcomings, all of our failures. So even if you are in a bad situation, even if you are going through stuff, even if you have got junk, no matter what it is, you can actually come to the Word and you can allow the truth of who Jesus is to begin to minister to your heart. And if you're willing to come without an agenda, because that's the thing, like we've got all of our days to enjoy the Word. If we're willing to come to the Word of God and we're willing to say, okay, I'm not going to put a time limit on this. I'm not going to put a ransom on this. I'm not going to, you know, say to you, Jesus, that in order for me to enjoy you, in order for me to abide in you, you have to do X, Y, and Z. If we just come to the Word and we're just like, you know what, Jesus? Even though my house might be falling apart, even though I might not have any money in the bank, even though this might happen, even though I'm sick, I'm going to enjoy you. I'm going to enjoy you. I'm going to choose to enjoy you. I'm going to choose to enjoy who you are, and I'm going to confess your goodness. I'm going to confess the finished work, and I'm going to confess what you've done. And if we are willing to do that without putting a time limit on it, if we're willing to do that without like saying, I must see my external circumstances change. If we're willing to trust that what's happening on the inside of us, because the secret place is inside of us, because heaven is inside of us, because we're heavenly citizenship, because we have a heavenly citizenship, if we are willing to trust that, and willing to trust what God is doing on the inside of us through his word, through the Holy Spirit, then in time, that will actually overtake our circumstances. And then we'll find that we don't need to keep going to the secret place, that place of rest and that place of just peace and that place of abiding is actually deep within us. And so that's what Jesus literally has been doing in my life. And the craziest thing is that every birthday and every Christmas, I always just had this one prayer, like, give me a love for the word. Give me a love for the word. I just saw the word as the word. I never saw it as a portal into God's presence. I never understood that the word together with the Holy Spirit can take me into a journey of discovery where every single time I go back to that scripture, I can experience Jesus. I had no idea about that. When I heard this message and I was like, oh my gosh, you're telling me that I can know more about Jesus through the Bible, like through these scriptures, that doors will open to me of who he is if I just meditate. Literally the following morning, I went to the Father, I went to Jesus, and I just opened up Hebrews. And there was a scripture in Hebrews 3:1, and it talks about thoughtfully and attentively considering Jesus. And up until that point in my life, I'd maybe only had 3 or 4 encounters, supernatural encounters with the Word of God. I'd never beyond that had any supernatural encounters with the Bible. And I opened up those scriptures, and all of a sudden, as I meditated on thoughtfully and attentively considering Jesus, it was the most incredible experience ever. Like, I literally just closed my eyes. And I began with the eyes of faith just to think about Jesus. And I almost felt like I'd never thought about him before. You know, like, because this was the first time ever that I was going to thoughtfully and fix my whole attention on him. And even though I've done that, but it felt like such a new thing that I was about to do. And I literally got so lost in heavenly places by doing that. Like, I engaged with Jesus so deeply, just with the word thoughtfully and attentively. Like, by the time I got to thoughtfully, I was on my face. I was just like, Jesus, I'm just going to think. And that was just with TH. You know, like, that's the beauty of the word. It's like it's endless, eternal discovery, this eternal playground that even if you spent 10 years on one word, there'd still be so much more of Jesus, so much more of Jesus, so much more of Jesus, so much more of Jesus. But the thing is, it's like, as much as a rhema word, as much as an experiential word is important, we have to also receive the Logos word as well. They go hand in hand. Because I could have stayed on attentively and thoughtfully for months. But actually, I needed to read all of Hebrews in order for me to really have context, for me to truly understand what it is that Jesus has done for me, how he is my high priest. And so I've been on Hebrews since February. And it's made my Bible reading, like, I can't get enough of the word. Like, even when I'm in worship, like, I need to have my Bible with me. And this is what I love. It's like we've got all these incredible worship leaders who love the word of God. You know they do because it's embedded in the songs, in all the verses. You've got so many truths that are from the Word of God. And so when you're worshiping and you're enjoying worship and then the scriptures just keep coming to you, then you're able to meditate on those scriptures. Because the thing is, it's like an experience will fade. Experiences fade. But it's the Word of truth that's the connector. That's the sustain. You know, even when we leave DT, it's going to fade. It will fade unless we undergird it with the Word of God. Unless every experience that we've had, unless the worship in the big top, unless the conversations, unless the prophetic words, unless we undergird them with the Word of God, they will lose either their sense or their razzmatazz. But when we undergird them with the Word, we can keep going back to the Word because the Word is full of promise and the Word is alive and is energetic and it is Jesus. And so every single time we go to the Word and a new door opens to Him, and then we go back to that same Word again and another door opens and another door opens and another door opens. Like, it's such an amazing, crazy journey. And so that's what's been happening for me literally since February. Every single time I open up the Word, there's so much discovery available. And I know it's not just for me. I know it's for everybody. I know it's for everybody. Like, this is what Jesus is doing. Like, this is what Jesus wants. Like, He wants us to have such a passionate relationship with the Word of God, because that is Him. And everything else will fade away, but the Word of God will forever remain. And if we are not dwelling in the Word, then what ends up happening is our encounters are sporadic. You know, they're compartmentalized. But it's the Word. The Word is the melody that runs through everything. It's the Word that builds our confidence. And I know that now when I read the Word, I just have two things in my heart. I just want to know who Jesus is. And I just want to know what He's done. I want to increase my confidence in those areas. Because if I can do that, then I know that I can have the secret place inside of me. I don't need to go anywhere. It's actually abiding inside of me. If this is something that you want, I'm going to ask you to stand up. If you want to have a love for the Word, like I used to, like I said, I used to beg God every birthday and every Christmas, Jesus, give me a love for the Word. Jesus, give me a love for the Word. Give me a love for the Word. Because I didn't value the Word. Like, I didn't value it. I didn't cherish it. I didn't see it as treasure. Like, I've got to a stage. Well, if I think of the Bible, I start crying. Like, literally, sometimes I'm just kissing my Bible. It's ridiculous, but it's delicious, because this is what I prayed for. And I, like, in His mercy and in His grace, like, He gives us these incredible adventures. And the Word is the doorway to heavenly adventure. It's the doorway to identity. It's the doorway to who He is. It's the doorway to our heavenly identity. Is the doorway to us seeing heaven on earth. Because if we can see heaven inside of our hearts, if we can see the presence of God inside of our hearts, we will operate from that place. We will operate from those truths. And if there are areas in your life where you're like, you know what, I don't know what the finished work looks like in my life in that area, they're the places you need to meditate and chew on. They're the places where those seed forms of those scriptures, if you're willing to not give, you know, God a time limit, if you're willing to just go on a discovery with Him, He will grow those words into, from seed to truth, that you will live from. And I'm telling you, if your Christianity is a bit dry, like, get into the Word of God with this sense of discovery. If there is a lack of power in your life, it's because the Word of God is missing. It's this timeless continuity that we must abide in if we truly want to see the face of Jesus. So I'm going to ask you to just hold out your hands. I'm going to ask Dave, and I don't know if Amma's here, but Sheila and Diana. So guys, the thing is this, is like Jesus wants this. Like He wants this for all of us. Like He wants us to have Him as the confession of our hope in every single circumstance. And He wants to floor us with excitement and discovery and adventure. He wants to reveal His love and His goodness to all of us. He wants us to enjoy Him no matter what. He wants us to abide in the secret place every single day, whether we're at work, whether we're driving, whether we're, you know, in a storm, wherever we are. He wants heaven on the inside of us. And so He wants this for you. And so in a moment, Sheila and Dave and Diana are going to come around and they're just going to lay hands on you. Obviously, they're not going to get to everybody, But what I just love is if you're already walking in this, like, please just lay hands on people that are not, you know, and just be so open. Even if you don't get touched, like, Jesus is going to smash you anyway with this stuff. Like, he's going to get on the inside of you. And so, like, have one hand out and have one hand on your belly, because he is the river of living water and he's flowing, and he wants to just totally just flood you with a love and a passion for his word, so that the secret place can get on the inside of you and that we can live from that place. So I'm going to ask you guys just to come round and just be laying hands on people. And if you are already walking in this, lay hands on each other, guys. Bless you. I'm going to come around and do a bit of this myself. Thank you, guys.